I subscribe to this darn podcast, and every time a new episode is published, my stupid iTunes nags me about it. All I did was open iTunes, press open Apple U, and then I entered www.havenofbliss.com. Now I have to listen to them the instant they are available. I'm now addicted. Thanks a lot, Wyatt. I'm sending you my therapy bill.
Come all ye fair and tender lady, take warning hand, ye courtier men. They're like a star on a summer's morning. First they appear, and then they're gone. They'll tell to you some loving stories. They'll swear to you their love is true. Straightway they'll go, they'll court another, and that's the love.
Welcome to Wyatt's Haven of Bliss podcast.
Before we courted, I never would have courted none. I'd have locked my heart.
You're listening to Gib Todd sing, "Come, all ye fair and tender-hearted." From Chicago, this is Wyatt's Haven of Bliss podcast, and I'm Wyatt Galen Houts. And I put that slow music on so that you can think about why you're up in the middle of the night like me, looking out over the Windy City as I am, and admiring this creation we have made. It is a beautiful night, a quiet night. It's a full moon out tonight, and it has been clear, but the clouds are starting to roll in front of it. I'm looking down the street from my 14th story window and admiring the Loop, which has been closing down slowly. It's not quite the city that never sleeps, because the spires of the Sears Tower, that emblem of security and direction and orientation, has turned off for the evening, signaling that we all should go to sleep, all these people who look to it. And as in accordance, almost all the lights in the condos and apartments have been extinguished for the evening, and not even a mouse can be heard on LaSalle Boulevard tonight, for it was the night before tomorrow where we all go back to work. But all the lights aren't out, because you're listening to this. So I know that there's at least two lights on right now, mine and yours, and at least a few hundred in the buildings downtown of other people like us who are working tonight on this Tuesday night. What are you doing tonight at the office so late at night? Is it because of your deadline? The deadline. Oh, that word deadline. That's like our life, isn't it? The deadlines. It's what keeps us going, and it's the only thing that you're thinking about right now. It's scary, isn't it? Because you're at your desk. And I'm not only talking about the buildings who have their lights on, because the floors that have all lights on, I mean, we have the third shift workers who come and clean the dishes and empty the trash. But I'm talking about all those windows that are dimly lit in, like, the Sears Tower, the Washington Mutual, the UBS Tower, the Mercantile Exchange, the Merchandise Mart, the Board of Trade, the Wrigley Building, all these buildings. What are you doing at your desk? The only thing on is your monitor. That blue light flickering, hurting your eyes and giving you that headache and making your eyes water and turn red, reminding you and nagging you that you're not done. And what are you going to do? Oh, that responsibility. Oh, that timeless paradigm. What am I going to do? Well, you should go home, because it's late and you need sleep, and you're not going to get that much done if you're listening to the podcast now. I mean, come on. I've been in that situation where I've been working really late at night and had deadlines to do, and I've been sick, and, you know, it's always ironic that you're really sick when you're working all these long shifts, but you never seem to put it together that probably the reason why you're sick is because you're working all these long hours and causing stress and not feeding yourself and doing things that make you susceptible to all those wonderful viruses here blowing around in the Windy City. Can you hear the wind in the Windy City blowing the clouds past the moon? LaSalle Boulevard is awfully quiet tonight. All the cars are asleep under the trees along the sides, where one lonely taxi makes its way down the avenue, and the lights change from red to green to yellow and back to red, while no one waits. I see you as you try to sneak home. You're the only one walking across LaSalle Street right now. Why are you walking home at this hour? You look tired, and all your bags are under your arms, and you're watching over your shoulders to make sure that no one's watching you, but you're so tired at the same time that you just can't wait to get home. And all you're thinking about is your own life and the things that are around you, and suddenly the city is getting so small, and your life is getting so big, and you're not able to control your life, and all the things that are beautiful out there just aren't important to you, because you've seen all those buildings before. You've been to all the museums and all the things that the city has. You've been to the Green Mill and the Kingston Mind and the Green Dolphin and the Back Room and all those fancy jazz clubs. You've been to Rush Street. You've been to Greektown, Chinatown, Argyle, Devon. You know it all. So why bother going? You don't go anymore. You just go home, sleep, get up, go to work. And now it's 10 o'clock at night and you're in your office building thinking about how you're going to get that promotion to partner. Partner. Why is your life so bent upon achieving this partner status? Just some guy decided to have a law firm one day and got lucky, made some money, and now you work your entire life just so that person can say, well, I guess you're okay to be my partner, even though he never deserved it either. It was just given to him. And that's the way of the loop. Come be a lawyer in the city and think about those things. Think about suing people and taking their lives and capitalizing upon others. Selfish gain. Even though it's not ill-gotten, it's still selfish. The way you're going after it is, at least. It's not wrong to work hard and try to achieve happiness. I mean, I learned from John Piper that we're supposed to seek after happiness and joyfulness and all those fruits of the spirit. That's why they were created for us. Not to tease us and nag us like that subject asking you a question in your inbox, nagging you. Yes, those emails, those incessant emails that fill your Outlook with 2,000 messages and half of them are unread. And they're all from your boss asking you why, where, what, when, how. And you haven't responded because you're working. I was going to say, why don't you stop and smell the flowers? But really, what good is that going to do, huh? Can't eat the flowers, can you? You can, but come on. I was thinking more about the city, how small it's become to you. Because you're just working all the time and not enjoying it anymore. Because you've been there, done that. And you're missing out on all this experience. And don't say, like what? That's my cliche for the week. Don't say, like what? Say what? Say Detroit what? Say Chicago town, Chicago land. Chicago means foul smelling bulb, such as garlic. Rotten, rancid, wretched things that grow in the ground and manure that you are eating. So this is my narrative, talking to you and convincing you to come home. And remember that there is a moon right above the Sears Tower that is lighting up the city. And that is much more of a beacon than the tower spires are, no matter what color they be. Or all the different colors for each season and holiday that surround the Hancock Building is that moon up there with all its colors, reminding us it has been here since the very beginning, nagging us, reminding us to go home and think there is something more than this life. Not just experiencing this life in full, because really, it's a hard life. And we're not going to be able to enjoy it and be fulfilled in it. I mean, it's just not going to happen no matter how we try. So, I mean, you've given up on trying to be fulfilled and just working hard, but that's not going to fulfill you either. But we have to look forward to the day that that darn moon up there is turned out. Just like the spires on top of the Sears Tower. Did you know? Come to think of it, do you even have any idea what heaven is like? Any idea? Did you know that when Jesus Christ returns, heaven is going to go away? So if you're alive and Jesus comes, you will never go to heaven. How about that? You missed the boat? I think not, because there's something that better than heaven is coming along, because heaven exists now. So what could that be? There will be a day when Jesus returns, and it's called the harvest, where all of us who don't care about God will be burned, and all of those who do love God and are miserable failures will be redeemed and given these bodies that actually work, such that when we want to achieve things, they actually get achieved, and when we don't want to do things, we don't do them. That would be a nice thing to have right about now, because then I wouldn't have to go to sleep. Well, will they be sleeping in heaven? Well, let's think about it. Well, the moon's going away. What else is going away? Oh, the sun is also going away. Those two demiurges, what was their point at all? Their point was to overlook the earth and watch the earth for protection. I mean, the sun gives us all the power and it's reflected by the moon, which causes the tides to clean it and all that stuff you learned in life science back in high school. But one day, Jesus Christ is returning to Earth, and the moon and the sun are going to disappear, as well as the sea. So if you haven't seen the sea, you should go see it now, because it won't be there forever, because there'll be something better. I mean, heaven, there's a glassy sea. But remember, heaven is going away, too. What are we getting in return? Well, the Earth is going to be fixed, because you know, all these things that just never seem to work out right? That's because the earth is cursed by God in Genesis. You can read about it in Genesis. And you can also read about this revelation I'm telling you about in Revelation 21. Because once things have come and done and passed and the earth has been fixed, it says the current earth will fade away as well. And it'll be replaced by a new earth. And what will happen is the city will descend upon the earth. It's like 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles straight up. Now that's a skyscraper where we will all live. And the reason why there will be no sun or moon will because there'll be no more night. There's no need for a moon to govern a night that doesn't exist. But if there's no night, what about the day? What do you know? The sun's going away too. Well, what's the use of having a sun when the Son of God and the Father and the Holy Spirit will all dwell with us in the city that is coming down from the Father? And it says the glory of God will light the city, such that there will be no more need for a moon or a sun. Because the presence of God, that omnipotence, that omnipresence, omnipotence, will be everywhere. His omniscience will rule and set us up as kings and queens and rulers of those in heaven, which he has anointed. And we'll all have these new bodies and be free from the sin and find fulfillment in God. And it'll be a little bit like the Garden of Eden, if you want to picture a little bit of something on earth. And that's going to be a big day. That's the deadline. Not what you're doing at your office. Not this assignment that your cheesy boss is making you do. It. Who cares how mean and pushy he is and how demanding it is? Because as soon as this is done, he'll have another project right after that. That's just the way of it. You know it. But we are in denial about it just because we just can't help it. We brought it upon ourselves. So think for a second why you are where you are. And I will pause.
You cold tune man, there like a star on a summer's morning. First they appear, and then they're gone. They'll tell to you some loving stories. They'll swear to you their love is true. Straightway they'll go.
So start packing up your things, because You have to come in tomorrow, and you can't wear the same clothes.
I never would have courted none. I'd have locked my heart in a box of gold and fastened it down with a silver pin.
That's just something to think about. Did you know that God loved the world so much that he gave his only son? That whoever that is, including you or me or up in our office building, were to believe in him, we would not perish in this life. But we would be part of this eternal life that I just talked about in the city of God. Living in that city where the glory of God lights it. It's hard to imagine that, huh? But remember, God did not send his son in the world to condemn it, but to deliver it through him so that we may be saved through him, because we're unable to overcome the curse. And it says, whoever believes in him, the son, Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the only Son of God, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and Jesus Christ has been born, and he has lived, and he has died, and rose again. But people love the darkness rather than this light, because their deeds were evil. They cared more about money, and being successful in the office, and being powerful and not making mistakes. And they did about Jesus Christ. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Because we don't need the light, right? We don't need Jesus because we can do it ourselves. That's why we're in the office now. But I want to remind you that whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. So, I'm going to wrap it up. And thank you for listening to Watts Haven Plus Podcast. Visit havenandbliss.com for more podcasts by me, Wyatt House, and with my special guest, Tracy, occasionally. And until next time, thanks for visiting and listening to Wyatt's Haven of Bliss Podcast.
Hello,
I'm Wyatt,
and this is Tracy.
Hi.
We're doing a travel podcast today.
Tell them where we're going to go.
We are going to Iowa.
All right. What cities?
Des Moines, Pella, Newton, Iowa City, Amana, Quad Cities.
You heard it. That's a short list, and we're going to breeze through this place so you can get an idea of where to stop if you're coming back home from Chicago like we are, or back home to Chicago. And we're on the Iowa 80 right now. Oh, yeah. Well, we're tailing a police car right now, so everyone's slowing down because they don't want to get a ticket. And the semi-trucks are only supposed to go, what, 55?
55, because they've really slowed down.
Yeah.
The speed limit's only like 65 in Illinois, isn't it?
Yeah.
I haven't been watching.
I haven't seen a sign, but I think it's 65.
I don't wanna.
I'm not gonna pass a police car, that's for sure.
We're just passing I don't wanna!
What cheer?
Which it sounds like Amana. But anyways, we just finished driving through
the river.
Yeah, Iowa. We just passed over the Mississippi River, which is the boundary of Iowa to the east, and we have Minnesota is to the north.
Right. Missouri to the south, Nebraska to the west.
It's a very beautiful plain state, unlike Illinois.
True.
So Tracy's going to pay attention to the road. I'm going to give you a little summary of some of the things we're going to do. So if you ever want to drive across to Iowa, it's about a 300-mile drive, but it's very beautiful with all the the farmlands at Sprawl. He's gonna go try to pick someone up.
Cool.
Yeah.
Whoa.
He's awesome. We just watched a cruiser go down into the median, into the ditch. It hit a huge puddle of water. Water sprayed up from both sides of the car, like it was parting the Red Sea.
22 miles to Culver's.
And he turned around and got on the freeway. And we were gonna stop at Culver's. We decided not to take the tollway because what do you think of the tollway versus the US 80?
It seems uglier.
Yeah. So you have it. Take okay. The 80. It's a couple more minutes. Okay, you can speed up now.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Does this car see me?
Keep going.
Okay.
You're okay.
Yeah,
no,
it's just
I appreciate our listeners' patience to the Haven Bliss podcast because we aren't driving on the road on 80 as we do this podcast. So it's a little bit hard to do this because I have to help around. Like, you can get over now.
I know that.
How many miles to Chicago?
Well, we can wait till the Culver's that's closer to Chicago if you want to.
Oh, we'll be okay because we have only 137 miles to Chicago. Anyways, I'll start off with Des Moines. We visited Des Moines, which is the capital city of Iowa.
About 1 million people, I think.
Yes, it also has a very interesting capitol building.
Gold leaf.
Why don't you tell them where we were?
Where we were?
Yeah, where did we go?
We went to downtown Des Moines to Java Joe's, which is a happening coffee house in the heart of Des Moines.
Yeah, the downtown city.
Very good coffee and atmosphere. We also went to the Mars Cafe near Drake University.
Do you want to sing the slogan, or do you want me to?
You.
There's a little slogan which we found off the MySpace webpage for Mars Cafe. How many businesses have MySpaces? You'd be surprised. There's a lot of them in Iowa that has a MySpace for a homepage, right?
Correct.
Not only did the Mars Cafe have it, but several others. But on the Mars Cafe website it goes, showing a picture of the cafe. We like circles. Yes, we do. And we like red. How about you?
Right.
Right. It's fun. I've been singing it over and over. And it was interesting because this cafe had something very different about it than most cafes have. At 5:30, what happened?
It had a wine tasting.
What did we have?
Prosecco and Moscato.
Which are those?
They are sparkling white wines. One is sweet, Moscato, and Prosecco is drier. It's used to make a Bellini cocktail if you've had that before.
Yeah. But it's not champagne.
It's not champagne because it can only be called champagne if it's from the Champagne region of France. Otherwise, it's just sparkling wine. Thank you, Wine for Newbies podcast.
Wine for Newbie podcast. We have really enjoyed that fact, and we've repeated it a few times because it makes it sound like we're wine connoisseurs.
Correct.
Tracy is also a connoisseur of fine deals.
That's true.
Do you want to plug in the I Love podcast.blogger.com? All right, so keep an update on there because there has been new updates to the blog. And you can read all about Tracy's fantastic writing. So in the Des Moines, we visited those two. And then we also went to this Art After Dark.
At the Art Center, the Des Moines Art Center.
You want to give us a couple anecdotes from that place?
It's a very beautiful building, designed partially by I.M. Pei. And they have some knowledgeable museum guards who enjoy chatting with you. One who was a former roller skate dancer and Vietnam fighter pilot.
Who makes his wife giggle when he dances with her.
That's right. No.
That's me giggling.
Thank you.
I like to add in those little sound bites just to make it more fun because I know that we're talking heads and talking heads aren't always that fun.
Nope.
Especially me.
Okay.
Ka-chow. So anyways, we're enjoying this beautiful Plain View, which is also the name of a town in Iowa, which put it together that if something's in plain view, that means you can pretty much see the Orions isn't everywhere. There's nothing hidden because everything's flat. There's no trees. And if you go up, like, to the top of this, like, silo right here, you could probably see 360 degrees.
That is correct.
And I will never have the full horizon in my view, which is also a very cool alternative Christian song if you want to look that up. Anyway, so that's the highlights of Des Moines. We ate at the Outback because we had a very hard time finding good places to eat, didn't we?
We did.
So although it's the biggest, the culture is a little bit harder. They're working on the freeway, and the downtowns tend to be very quiet, except for one happening place.
Where's that?
Nice.
The East Village?
Yeah.
Soho? It was not very happy.
It was happening for certain people.
It looks to be a gay and lesbian area of town.
Yeah.
But they were like pretty lame bars with, you know, pride neon signs and rainbow colors and stuff. Let me say something about that. That the rainbow is a beautiful sign of God's promise not to destroy the world by horrible flood. Like he did last time the world was filled with gay people.
Do you see the irony there?
Don't endorse.
So I just want to say that we need to consider the rainbow as a beautiful sign of God's grace and also his control in the world, and not a sign of perversion like it is now.
What do you think about that?
Okay.
You think I'm being a little bit ridiculous?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm being ridiculous, but I think the rainbows are beautiful. I heard that you can't see the third rainbow. Just for a tangent. Have you ever seen the third rainbow?
No.
Okay. So that was Davenport. Visit there. And then, I'm sorry. Des Moines, the capital. And then we're working our way back east towards Chicago. And on the way back, we visited Newton and Pella. Is there anything you want to share about those towns?
Did we talk about Pella before on a podcast?
I think we talked a little bit about Pella, so you don't have to talk too much.
Okay. It's a Dutch community in the middle of Iowa. The historic town of Pella, Iowa. Founded 160 odd years ago by Dutch settlers, and still to this day has a tulip festival to celebrate its Dutch heritage and makes wonderful Dutch letters that you should stop and pick up at the bakery on your way through.
Pella is definitely a highlight of Iowa. I would definitely visit it if you're going to go there, and the best time to go is tulip time, like Tracy said. Would you like to say anything about Knoxville or Newton or Oskaloosa or any other surrounding towns or not?
Oh, there's not a lot to do there. I wouldn't recommend going to them unless you have to, or unless you're in the area and you're staying there.
Yeah, Pella is definitely something unique and is very beautiful, scenic town. We were there for, we went for a wedding there, but now we're driving home.
Lake Red Rock is also nice to visit. It's a very large state park on the outskirts of Pella in Knoxville.
It's kind of like Lake Page or Lake Powell. It's this massive lake and it's beautiful.
It's dammed.
Is it man-made?
It's a man-made dam.
Yes, very much like Powell, and that's in Nevada, I believe. So now we're looking at the lazy yellow moon coming up tonight underneath the stars, because we've been listening to some country music as a break from the Promiscuous Girl and Promiscuous
Boy
song, which has been on the radio every other song. I don't think we've heard the beginning and the end, because we always changed it.
That's right.
It's not a very good wholesome song, and it's, you know, this girl, Nadia, whatever her name is?
Nelly Furtado.
Nelly Furtado, who tried to be this superficial Zen Buddhist girl and singing about, like, being birds and whatever, and now she just kind of came out and came true that she really is just, like, some skanky singer.
All right.
Holla holla. So the podcast is making the road go fast, and we need to keep up with the cars that we're passing and move right on to the Manicollies.
Sounds good.
Tell us about the Manicollies.
The Manicollies are a German tourist attraction in the middle of Iowa, near 20 minutes from Iowa City. They are formerly a German commune where everyone made their own things.
So there was this great change, you know when that happened?
1932.
When they stopped being a commune and they started being just a normal little tourist town, which is very provincial. If you want to think of like the old East Coast when things were first settled and they made their houses out of logs that they had cut, and it's very quaint with everything is homemade, and but it's very German at the same time. We ate this place that had like all kinds of... what did we eat?
Schnitzel and spätzle and sauerkraut and bratwurst and knackwurst.
All your favorite bloody German food. I didn't see anybody with lederhosen on.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah. So, what do you rate the Amana colonies from 1 to Amana?
They're very touristy, but I would rate them an 8.
where Amana's a 10. So we definitely visit, recommend going there. There's a town called Amana, and there's also like lower Amana colonies, middle Amana colonies, high Amana colonies. You want to go to
Amana.
Yeah, the main city. It's just north of Homestead. Visit that right off the Highway 80 stop. There's signs for it. And it's right before Iowa City. Yes, we have to talk about the wine. Because basically that's what all they sell there now, right? They have stopped becoming... They're like, we give up on the whole commune idea and we're just going to sell wine. What kind of wine?
Dandelion wine.
Weed wine.
Fruit wine.
They have weed wine and fruit wine and 126 miles to Chicago. So, while we're getting past, why don't you tell us a couple of the kinds of wines they had?
They had rhubarb wine, cranberry wine, strawberry wine, currant wine, apple wine, peach wine, strawberry, blackberry, raspberry, cranberry, all the berries, all the fruits that you can think of.
Yeah. What was the popular
one? The popular one was the cranberry, was one of the best sellers, and also currant, I believe, and rhubarb were good sellers. I'm sure strawberry was a good seller, too.
Strawberry Wine is a song about Deanna Carter and her floozy childhood as she was when she was 17. And she wrote a song about it, and everybody in the world loves the fact that she just, you get that idea around that. So we don't advocate that song in any way, but I would advocate a taste of strawberry wine because it's pretty good. I don't know if you could eat very much of it. And dandelion wine.
Also a book by Ray Bradbury, which is recommended.
Yeah. And we always encourage to drink responsibly and in moderation and as least often as you can while still enjoying it and staying out of trouble, because we are strong Christians, believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and we look forward to his coming home. And we will want to remind you of this verse from Ephesians 5:6. Do you know what that verse is? I quote.
No.
It says, do not be drunk with wine, for that is
evil
dissipation, but be filled with
the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. I don't remember all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many do you remember?
Peace, patience, love, joy, kindness, self-control, goodness, thanksgiving.
And stuff like that. We have to go back to Galatians and check out the rest. But remember that those are the results of being filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with wine, you make mistakes, your conscience is gone, and it can be bad, but it can be okay and good things. But anyways, the wines were really cool. They had a tasting with little tiny cups, and you could go taste each of the little wines. It was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
It was good and fun. So after that, we hauled out of there.
We did.
And what?
We went to Iowa City.
Iowa City is, what do you rate Iowa City on 1 to Iowa City?
Compared to what though? I can't rate it.
Iowa City would be a 10.
So, out of 1 to Iowa City.
I know what you mean, but I mean to rate it in comparison to what?
Well.
Should you stop and see it?
Yeah, should you stop and see it?
I would say 7.
I would give it a 7.
My lights are on.
Yes, they are. You can see the lidded ground right in front of the car. Because I turned down the dashboard when I was driving the other day. You can adjust how bright all the widgets are in the dashboard so that they don't hurt your eyes.
Oh, I see.
Because during the day it's hard to see them. You want them up a lot brighter. So we're driving this car. It's a Chevy Malibu. I give it the worst rating driving experience for like ergonomics and thought for where things are placed and whatnot. As for the quality of the build or the crash test or the speed or the mileage, those are all different. But this is probably my least favorite rental ever. What do you think?
I agree.
So don't ever run a Chevy Malibu if you have a choice between another car in the same class. Iowa City. What's famous in Iowa City?
It is the former capital of Iowa.
Yeah.
And the University of Iowa is located there. It's a college town.
we had a really good time just because it was the college experience, but it wasn't overdone. So they had a lot of little nice restaurants and shops and coffee houses and things. It was just like a nice evening to go out and walk around. There was a table out there with a couple people trying to sell Bibles. They look like they're Amish or something, or Mennonites. Yeah, and there was a guy doing folk songs the other day out in the little foyer. It's a really small town, but it seems to be alive compared to the downtown on Des Moines.
Yes, that's true.
How many people are downtown Des Moines?
I can't talk right now.
She's changing lanes. I just like her to participate. But I also encourage you to drive responsibly when you're on your freeway. I'll tell you a little bit about it. We found a couple restaurants that we like. My favorite is this Java House. Tracy's a little bored of it because we've been there 3 times now.
Yes.
But it's a nice little coffee house where they make the lattes and they make them correct. And they make little hearts and they make ferns. And there's all these competitions about how you pour the milk to make in little animals and things like that. We just saw a video on CoreyShatt.com, which we're plugging. I also recommend seeing ilovepodcast.blogger.com, Tracy's blog, for some fine deals and all kinds of things. While I'm plugging things at the Haven Bliss podcast. And stalling as we pass another semi-truck on the road. Highway 80 pretty much is the main drag through Iowa. Is there another freeway that goes through Iowa?
I-35, I think. That goes through up to Minneapolis, I think.
I think there's another drag. Some people go down to Kansas City, but this is like the higher way to go to get to Denver. You might be able to take 70 or 76 across, but I'm not sure how that goes through Kansas. But Iowa City, we went to this restaurant called Takanaki, and we also saw some Indian restaurants that were pretty good. One was vegetarian, worth going, and they also have all the bars and the Buffalo Wild Wings and things like that, but we would recommend you go to the Takanaki restaurant. And Tracy might want to tell us a little bit about the Takanaki restaurant. What do you think?
Okay.
Go for it.
It's a Japanese fusion restaurant that serves sushi, and it also has a very large aquarium and nice ambiance. There's a shark and eel in the aquarium, and we sat within inches of them while we were eating. And it was a very friendly and good eats.
And while we were eating, the eel came up and smiled at Tracy, and the shark came over and said hello, and they are her happy friends, just like the Dorian fish from
Nemo.
Nemo, which is
on a scale from 1 to Little Nemo, how good is that movie?
It's 10.
It's a 10, folks. Go see it. Is it one of the best animation movies ever?
It is the best animation film ever.
You've heard it. Straight from Tracy's mouth, which is practically made out of gold because it's so beautiful. But gold isn't as beautiful as Tracy's mouth. So you're good to get over past this truck. I like to let... Yeah, we can stop if you want.
Sure.
It's up to you. We're good for it. I think so. It won't hurt if you pull off.
Okay.
So we're about wrapping it up, just because we recommend you go visit the Java House in Iowa City and also the Takanaki Sushi Restaurant with the sushi tank for very good sushi for Iowa. Uh-oh, car's passing. And I suggest that you pass the Quad Cities and just drive over the Mississippi River unless you really like cheap bars with memorabilia and riverboat casinos. What do you think?
I turned this dashboard up. I can't see if I'm speeding or not.
Okay, you're going about 70 miles an hour, which is straight up. So, thank you for listening to What's Haven and Bliss podcast. Say bye real quick.
Bye-bye.
She has to focus because we're in the construction zone. But we'll see you next time. Culver's, here we come.
This is Diane. Thanks for listening to the HavenOfBliss.com podcast. Remember to subscribe at HavenOfBliss.com/podcast. I love you, so come back to me.